Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello and welcome to Girl on Fire podcast on the Believe Network, New York's number one podcast network for personal growth. This is your host, Kirsten Franklin. And on this week,
our next guest is one of my trusted advisors and personal coach. She's a clinical hypnotherapist who also trained with Tony Robbins, has studied NLP and shamanic healing, and is currently a PGI consultant for Bob Proctor. While she happens to have a focus on women's health and overcoming fibromyalgia and other chronic pain, I can attest to her ability to help anyone overcome any challenge, physical or otherwise. Please welcome Brooke O'Connor. Brooke, it's so great to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Kirsten. I'm really excited to be here.
I love it. Now, while I know that you can speak on a wide range of topics, I actually brought you on here today specifically to discuss kind of women and this idea of mentorship and coaching, because you and I had been talking and I was really curious as to why, when it comes to the CEO executive sort of corporate structure, I'm pretty much 99.5% all male. And then when it comes to the world of entrepreneurship and small business ownership, while there are a lot of women that speak to me, it's still 97% male that hire me. And, you know, you being a trusted advisor of mine, I wanted to kind of bring you on and sort of talk about this topic. I mean, am I like the only person finding this, or is this something that you've heard from others?
Oh, no, this is across the board, something that is happening with women. And it really goes back to how we see ourselves and the reason why women don't ask for help.
Oh, that's interesting.
A lot of the times, you know,
okay.
Somewhere around the 60s, we got out of those traditional roles, you know, when women's lib came and the feminism movement started happening. We moved out of those traditional roles. And traditionally, we were the helper.
Right.
Like if someone needed help, they came to us.
Right.
Right. So child falls down, they come to you. A husband needs support, they come to you. The neighbor needs help, they come to you. So it's just kind of ingrained in us that we're the helpers. But then in the 60s, which was only 60 years ago, things changed. So now we're not the traditional homemaker. We don't have all that time. We're not in one place. In fact, feminism, for all the good that it's done for women, it's also put a lot more on our plate.
Yeah.
And so now instead of being like an exploded version of ourselves, we're kind of fractionated everywhere. We got to have a business. We got to have a career. We got to have a perfect family. We've got to be able to put that on Pinterest and then, you know, some kind of side hustle on Etsy. And then, you know, then you're complete as long as you can, you know, post it all on Instagram and be perfect. We didn't have that before. And there's still that belief system that we should be the helper. We're supposed to be helping, but the reality is we're taking on too many roles.
Yeah. I mean, I find that's so it for me, like right there, is just that it's the one, not a role, it's the one being that's supposed to be all things to all people, all these full-time jobs, right?
Yes.
Being a homemaker is a full-time job.
Absolutely.
Right. And the courts have finally caught up to this where we price it out in divorce settlements,
mm-hmm,
right? Like
mm-hmm.
If you had paid a live-in nanny, how much would that have been?
Yes.
If you had paid for laundry service, how much would that have
yes.
been? If you had paid for all of this stuff, How much would the, okay, now you're finally, that's your paycheck in a divorce settlement and then some,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, but we as women are supposed, you know, and I understand like World War II and all of these things and where we started to first step out and stuff like that. And then we kind of step back in, but we're doing multiple full-time jobs, getting paid for one of them.
Maybe.
And yet we're supposed to be this like ace at all of these things, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the family has changed a lot since the 60s too. We don't have the extended family living at home or right. living close by. We used to have grandmothers and mothers and aunts and sisters and all of that that would support us and give us help.
Right.
And there was no shame in asking those people for help because that's family, right? Family helps family. But we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And with, and now most families are not the basic nuclear family with a male and a female and children. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And the children generally still go to live with the mother.
Yes.
So now she doesn't even have the help or someone to ask for help with a partner.
But don't you think, and I don't mean to cut you off there, but don't you think that there's, I find that, and it has to be systemic, it has to be societal, it has to be upbringing, it has to be culture, it has to be human, right? But for some reason, I feel as though, and I could be wrong, that a woman feels as though if they ask for help, it's somehow negative. But when a man asks for help, and especially in the family situation, oh, I need help with my kids. Oh, of course he does. But you know, a woman's, I need help with my kids. Oh my God, like, are you okay?
Right.
It's just like, all right, what's the big deal?
Well, because traditionally we're the helpers,
right?
It would be like, you wouldn't ask, a fireman wouldn't ask you to come over and put the fire out in his house.
Right. Ooh, good analogy.
Okay. So we're supposed to be the helpers. And somehow along the line, we got into this belief system that we're supposed to do everything and be everything to everyone. And, you know, the problem with that, and like you said, you know, men don't have this problem because men traditionally have always asked for help.
Yeah.
I mean, all you have to do is look when a man gets sick,
mm-hmm.
right? If a man gets a cold or doesn't feel well or sprains his ankle or anything like that, the world stops and whatever he needs, he gets
right.
because he asks for it. Whereas a woman, it's like, just power through, just keep going, just push
on.
It, just, right. you know. Struggle on. And we almost wear a badge of honor when we're doing that. And we're not doing ourselves any favors
right.
by doing that. Because what we've done is we've taken a whole group collective responsibility, put it on ourselves. And now we don't have the opportunity to ask anybody because that would be failing somehow.
Right.
And so what happens is, we've created a society, an entire generation, really, of long-term stress being normal.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So stress is normal for everyone. Well, how many people, Kirsten, when you talk to them, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's so much going on.
But I think that's like a habit societal kind of thing. It's like, oh, if you're busy, then you must be productive, you must be important, you must be doing something,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think, you know, and because sometimes like I hear people say, I'm like, no, you're not. We just sat here for an hour talking. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
uh-huh.
maybe we have a different definition of busy, but.
Yeah, well, go back again, just 60 years ago, mm-hmm. right? We did not have all of the appliances and the vehicles and all the things that make our life so much easier now. We didn't have that back then. Like, go back to, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
So I'm 52 years old. 60 years ago meant that my mother was like a child,
right?
So her mother didn't have a refrigerator, had to do shopping every day, didn't have a washing machine that was like, you know, electric and you just threw things in and threw in the little pod and you're done. Like, all those things had to be done all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think what's happened is that as time has gone on and we've had less and less need for that menial work, we've had to come up with other things to make ourselves important, useful,
right.
to validate what we're doing. So now we have to have, you know, and hey, don't get me wrong. I love plumbing in my house. I love all my appliances. Like I would never, ever go back, would never want to go back. But what we've done is we create other things for ourselves to be busy with because we don't know how to just be.
Yeah, I was going to say, be still, right? That's one of the hardest things for people to start to do. That's something I go through with a lot of my executives is especially if they're transitioning, it's the second they have 5 minutes, their automatic habit is to fill it, even if it's like solitaire on their phone.
Yes.
Right. Like, and you know it, like, don't like anybody listening, don't tell me there hasn't been a moment. It's like, what are you going to eat for dinner? Oh, it's like, what do you feel like doing right now? Well, I don't actually feel like watching a movie. I don't feel like reading a book. I don't feel like doing like work or hanging out with the kids. I don't feel like any of it. And you just can't be still. You can't just be in that moment. You can't feel yourself anymore. Yeah, that's interesting.
Right. And we have these cell phones, we have computers, we've got, you know, Netflix, we've got an abundance of food and availability of anything that there could possibly be to distract us from being in the moment or maybe taking that next step to do and be what we really want to be.
Right.
And it's much easier to be distracted. Yeah. It's much easier to wear that busy button and say, well, I don't have time. How could I possibly get a coach? How could I possibly get a mentor when I already don't have enough time?
Well, yeah. And let's talk about that because, you know, I do see a change in openness in women to explore coaching or mentorship even, you know, and mentorship is not always everybody's fault. If we have a generation before that's not, you know, seeing the value in helping others come up, that's one thing. If they feel like they can't spend that time because that time would mean that they're on their way out of another position because they did something, right? Like I understand that as well. But I find, and again, limited to my perspective, I don't go on sales calls for other coaches. I have no idea what happened. But if I were to have 10 men on a call, 10 women on a call, exact same situations, exact same financial capability, exact same issues, exact same belief that I can help them solve their issue, all 10 men will buy. Maybe I'd have to talk a woman into it. What is that about?
Well, I think it's about allowing yourself, again, to ask for help because it really is help. It's admitting that I don't know something.
Right.
And I'm willing to put resources into asking and getting new information so that I can be better. Like we're supposed to just magically be that way. We're supposed to magically be perfect in every kind of way, you know, and it's just, it's habit.
Well, is there also like an aspect of it? Because I was just like wondering, I have no idea. You know me, I throw money at everything, but you know, is it also like, would a woman for some reason be less willing to, first of all, one, realize the idea of investing in yourself. Forget about the asking for help. Like, like I feel like men, not all men, right? But men as a whole, especially at the executive level, feel like, okay, this is worth me investing in this because I want to get here. Whereas a woman might not come from that perspective, but then also kind of like, I feel like a woman's going to run down the list of the financial responsibilities first. And even if there's extra, they're going to go into the future. Oh, but I might want to update a car or I might want to do this. And so maybe not right now. Right. Whereas I feel like men would be like, no, I'll just go do that. And if I feel like updating the car later, I'll figure it out. Like, is that true? Or am I just like imagineering shit?
No, it's true. And it comes down to this word that we call selfishness. As women, when we hear the word selfishness, we're like, oh no, I can't do that. That's, you know, that feels terrible to us. But men don't have the same concept of selfishness. And so when they see it as an investment in themselves, they're looking at it as, well, this is going to add to my future. This is going to add to my life. This is going to add to my business. It's going to add to my family. So obviously, why wouldn't I do it? Whereas a woman, because again, of these same beliefs that we should be able to do it all, we look at it as, well, if I spend money, then I'm taking away from someone else or something else. So I have to take it from here. That's going to make this smaller to try and make myself bigger over here. And I should have already been knowing how to do that. So it's kind of selfish and it's kind of self-centered. And, you know, I don't want to do that. And I don't want to feel that way. It's a terrible feeling. Right.
But that's also right? a limited mindset and too, thinking that there is limited resources, is. That it's not just going to keep flowing. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But men have just been raised to understand that when you add value, that's going to bring more value. And as women, we have to learn from them. You know, we like to joke and we like to make fun of them and everything, but there's some important things that we need to learn from men. And that is one of them, is that taking time for yourself, downtime, asking for help, being willing to invest in ourselves, being willing to not, and then not just invest in ourselves, but follow through with the things that we've just invested in, rather than getting busy, right. doing all these other things right. that aren't important. You know, and and what I see in my work is that because women are not doing this, we see more and more chronic illnesses, we see more and more autoimmune disease, more and more fibromyalgia, more and more mystery diseases, what they're calling mystery diseases, they can't label them. They have no idea where they're coming from. And so what's happening? People are being thrown antidepressants, anti-anxiety medicine. Here, you probably just need to sleep more. Well, no, actually, probably I need to be able to sort my day out better so that I feel satisfied at the end of the day and then I can go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? So then you get on that pill cycle, and the pill cycle, very good for many people. I'm not against pills. They have the place, but they're not the end all be all for every solution, for like everything that every problem that's out there. So the first step is always going to be, when you come up against a problem, to ask for help.
Well, yeah. And I mean, like, if you notice, women don't always go to the doctor. Well, men don't typically either, but people don't typically just do that right away. And if it's something like, say the onset of fibromyalgia, right? Where just maybe it's not like a massive onset, but it's like a smaller kind of little thing. You tend to ignore it. Like it's just going to go away or something, versus really understand, A, is there a physiological thing going on, or is there a mental thing going on, a mental emotional thing, or is there both, right? That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Well, what we know now with science is that it all starts in the mind, and that over 90% of diseases and illnesses actually start in the mind. In fact, even a basic thing like a cold, it's not that the cold is the thing that gets you. It's your immune system not being able to fight that, because we come across thousands and thousands of bacteria and viruses every single day, and we don't die. So the reason why we end up getting sick is because we don't have the strength inside of us to keep going.
Interesting. So let me ask you this, just circling back to, you know, talking about the need to ask for help, or to understand the value, that you don't always have to bring the value. You can ask for the value to come to you. Right. And so what does that even look like? So let's say I've never once invested in anything, asked outside myself, right. What does it even look like? Like, how does one even start to ask for help? And thinking here in this situation, say, you know, whether it's in the corporation, whether it's your startup business, whether it's, you know, you're an entrepreneur and you're a founder, right? Like, what does that even look like?
Uh-huh. Well, I think that it starts with being realistic with yourself and asking yourself, what are you spending your time with? Okay. Again, back in the 60s, women would start by making breakfast. And by the time breakfast was done, then they had to clean up breakfast, and it was time to make lunch and thinking about dinner. And if you're spending all your time doing those kinds of things, if you're spending all your time cooking and cleaning and laundry, and there's nothing wrong with that, especially if you're a homemaker, like you said, it's a full-time job. Like, that is work. But if you don't have enough time to work on your business and that is your big goal, then you need to hire someone else, or at least pieces of that, to free up that time. Now be careful, because once you've freed up that time, it's very easy to pick up the phone, turn on Netflix, you know, all the distraction things, right? But if you sit and figure out how many hours a day you're doing those kinds of tasks, which you're really not interested in, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a founder startup kind of person, you need to ask for help for those things. And those asking for help can look like asking your neighbor to help with carpool. It can look like just getting a meal program
I had to do during COVID,
you know, sent to your house,
right?
Yeah, exactly. There are some fantastic programs now where you order whatever kind of food that you want and they just send it to your door. You put it in your freezer, you put it in your fridge a month at a time, a week at a time, like you can mix up the things. There's no reason for that to be a problem anymore. Laundry. Cleaning.
Yeah, I don't do laundry.
Yeah. And why don't you do laundry? It just takes too much time.
Time, value, money. Right. Exactly. And also like I'm not against people doing certain things. Like, you know, like my dad loves to mow the lawn. He's got a riding mower and it's his like Zen moment. Do it. Right.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, map it out, like understand what do you do, how much time you spend towards it. And figure it out from there. Like, what's the value you're getting out of it?
Right. Exactly.
You know, some people, you know, like, you know me, I was like, because I'm a single parent, I will drop my daughter off and pick her up and no one else is doing it unless there's an emergency. Like when I had cancer and there was an emergency, that was an emergency for me.
Right.
Because there were certain standards that I wanted to meet, seeing as she doesn't have another parent in her life. So there were certain things that I was going to be there, but you make the time for him. Now, you know, I just want to circle back to something that you're talking about. And we're talking about this is, you know, obviously we had a huge decline in women in the executive field during COVID because of this very thing.
Yes.
So most of the younger executives who are in their 30s, who are having younger children, you know, they went from their kids either going to daycare, so it was a drop-off point, a pickup point, whether they did that or somebody else did that, to not being able to get that version of help because, you know, we didn't have the vaccine, so grandma couldn't come over. We didn't have, you know, you didn't want people in your house because where the heck are they coming from? And what are they, right? What could they be bringing? Everybody was like,
right,
you know? So,
right.
So in those situations, when someone's kind of taking a mental trip and like freaking out, what would you say to them to do? And how does that version of asking for help work?
Okay. So just step back for a minute and look at what happened there. Okay. What happened was they did ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now that help is no longer there. Yet somehow we're online, we're supposed to be working online.
Right.
And the statistics say that people were working 10 to 20% more at home than they were in the office.
Yep.
Okay. So now not only do you have to take care of children who are wanting to eat and be fed and washed and go to the bathroom and, you know, all these things, but you're supposed to work 20% more on top of it so that you can keep up with what all your colleagues are doing. And so you're right. There has been a big problem. In fact, mental health has declined significantly during COVID. And we see that in, you know, alcoholism and drug abuse and the number of suicide rates and the number of anti-anxiety
suicide
and antidepressants that have been prescribed. So the question is, okay, so that's it. So first of all, realize you're not crazy. There's not something wrong with you. You already had a completely full cup and now you're expected to do another 4 ounces on top of that. Like it's unrealistic. So the first thing is lower your expectations.
Right.
Lower your expectations. Do you really have to be online all those hours? Do you really have to be at 10, 11 o'clock at night on your phone answering emails when it could be done in the morning? Were you doing that before when you were going into the office every day? Like bring your schedule back to what you were doing before COVID started. Okay. That's going to take a big stress off of you. Then at that point, you've got to block out your time. Block out your time and ask for help somehow during those hours that you know you have to be physically present in front of a screen or on a computer or on the phone with someone. So if I don't even know how mothers with multiple children and no other help
Yeah, I was going to say, that's nice. You can block out all the time you want. But if little Joey or little Kimmy has to go to the bathroom and they come running in and go pee on your lap in the middle of your meeting, right, it is what it is. So that's why I like the lower the expectations.
Yes. Well, that's always first. And that goes with your house, too. It doesn't have to be as clean and organized. You don't have the kids can wear the same clothes a couple days in a row. Like, no one's going to die.
Well, I'm sure they have more than enough to figure that out.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is, like, you don't have to keep the same standards because you're expecting too much from yourself. Now, if you're a single mother and you've got children at home, young children that can't occupy their time by themselves, there's got to be some kind of outside help to ask for. And if not, maybe that's time to start talking to your employer about, or your whoever it is that you're working with, about, okay, I'm only online physically one-to-one like this during these times, and that's nap time. Be able to figure out a way that you can take that mental load. We've got to take the mental load off of ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying by that?
Yeah. And actually, what I'm going to tell you, this is the number one reason I think that women are going to dominate small businesses in the next few years, thanks to COVID. I think that thanks to COVID, a lot of people who step back and realize that their life actually isn't working out. They thought it was, but I don't think that they realized it kind of wasn't. It was like a little bit of patchwork, and it was satisfactory, right? It wasn't enlightening. Maybe. It wasn't like amazing. It was like, yeah, exactly. Right. Maybe if that, right. They were doing their thing. But I'm saying, for those who felt like, oh no, I have this all together. This is great. This is perfect. Uh-huh. One minor hiccup in their schedule and it's all thrown off.
Yep.
So it's not that awesome. Like, in my opinion, right, it's like, oh, you could throw rocks at me and I'll be like, oh shit, rocks. All right. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah,
different, different kind of maneuvering there. But I think there's a lot of things that happened in this past year that I'm not about the illness side of things, but man, I am so happy about so many things. Like, even in my financial services business, there's no more need to go fly around the world, meet one-on-one with people into their homes, right? There's an expectation, even within the coaching field, where people are now, executives are now willing to, meet via Zoom, even if they are in their wardrobe closet on the Zoom call with me, they're there, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and then I love it what it did for law firms, because man, every law firm had to get everybody out. They have this massive overhead expense to these buildings. And they realized that they can, and sorry for all my HR followers or anything, but they realized there was a lot of things that they didn't actually need. So it forced a lot of companies to go slim, granted some went out, but for the most part, I think it was an awakening from both the aspect of work-life balance and how you're really treating people and what are people really doing. And then out of a business aspect of what the hell are we really spending money on? What's really necessary? And what are our capabilities?
Right.
And I'm not speaking to the fact that these poor young lawyers are getting out of law school. They were hoping to work next to this high powered partner and learn the skills. And now they're like home doing research and writing, and they're not really getting that thing. But that will come back.
Right.
I mean,
not
that
what
will
they
come
wanted,
back eventually in some form or another. Right. And one of the things I never understood is, like, they didn't. And I guess I can understand this, because you don't want to beam into someone's home. But like you were saying, like, specific hours that they're online. Well, my legal recruiters had that since 2012. We would do an online phone bank where we're literally just, and it wasn't Zoom at the time. It was a company called Ring Central. I had a Ring Central platform, and we would just be online making calls at home, but with each other, because that was the only way I could understand to connect, so that these callers could learn each other's little tricks that they were doing, like, on the phone, because I mean, that's how I learned, is because I sat with people that were better than me. So when you're on your own, there's only so much research you could do and trying that you could do.
Right.
But sometimes when you hear it, it just kind of comes in. So that's, I don't know why people haven't really picked up on, let's have an open hour. It's only an hour. Like, if you're there, be online, hear each other. Like, I don't know.
But, right. Yeah. But like you were saying before, I think that we're going to find that there are a lot more women who enter into the entrepreneurial space and do some startup things because they see that this system is not working for them.
Yeah. No.
One thing goes down and everything falls apart. It's a domino effect because everything's propped up against everything else.
But I hope this is a catalyst for us to look at ourselves differently, dude. Listen, first of all, I don't care, mom or dad, you want your kids to do the best. You want them to be mentally and emotionally healthy. And it takes both of you, or, uh-huh. you know, in my case, you know, the village, right?
Uh-huh.
And who knows how that ends up, but that also doesn't mean you can't go out and do things. I mean, I was a lawyer. I was, you know, operating businesses. Like you can do it. Again, I think it comes back to mindset and ability to just have
Absolutely.
No rules, man. Throw out all the rules, rebuild it how you want, and then take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. My kids are grown now, but when they were younger, it was important for me that I didn't want somebody else to raise my kids.
Right.
I also couldn't stand the idea of being a homemaker. And when my first child was 9 months old, I was a single parent. So that wasn't going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
And the way around that was to start my own business. Mm. And I worked it around her, and I worked around her schedule because I was my own boss. There was no one, you know, I set up times for calls and things like that, but I set those times around her schedule and my schedule. And then I did a lot of work at night.
Yeah.
She went to bed. I got my big bottle of water and I sat down there and I got on the phone, got on the computer, did whatever I needed to do. And I got a good 6 to 8 hours in at night.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, let's stop you there. This is one of the things that I can't stand. You know, yes, I have gotten my work day down to this apparently infamous 4-hour day. Apparently Tim Ferriss wrote something about that. I had no idea, but I got it down to that and even less. Right. Well, still be, but it didn't start there. Number one, but also I'm doing 3 different things right now, right? The chateau building, the financial services thing, and a medium publication that we're trying to get together. Right. And so the thing I want people to stop freaking faking themselves out about is like, you're going to walk out the gate and work for 1 hour a day. No.
No, you got to build
entrepreneurship, right? But not only entrepreneurship is about working all the time. It's just the fact that it's your time. So you want to go to the golf course in the daytime and then maybe work a few hours a night. Do it.
Do
I think
it.
That's the hardest part. Cause I remember the first time I had like 2 hours at like this lunch hour and I had nothing scheduled in, right? I wasn't busy and I really wanted to read a book. I actually had to call my coach at that moment. Like, I really want to read this book, but I feel like and I actually called to check in to make sure there wasn't something I was supposed to be doing that I forgot about.
Right.
But the coach was like,
be lazy? Would this be selfish?
It wasn't that. It's like, I felt like maybe actually, thank you. Yes, it was that. It was exactly that. Cause it was kind of like, well, I want to read this book, but I'm sure there was something more productive I could do. And maybe I was missing it. So I actually called my coach to be like, what am I missing before I waste my time and read this book? Right.
Right.
And it happened to be a business book too. So it wasn't even like a waste of time.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And so the coach really was like, duh, dumbass. Like, isn't that what you were working towards?
Having that time. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think that if you're working from dawn until dusk and you're not peeling yourself away from the computer, then there's something wrong.
Yeah. Then you're not building a good, balanced, healthy.
And I do not believe in work-life balance. I don't believe that that's even possible, especially if you're a single mother. Like it just doesn't happen. What you have to do is decide what your priorities are.
Yeah.
Put the first things first, as Stephen Covey always said, and then figure out what's important after that.
That's interesting.
There's always time for the things that are important, just like there's always money for the things that are important. And going back to women and wanting, you know, and not feeling like they can invest themselves, you know, what are the biggest things that you hear? I can't afford it.
Okay.
And I don't have time.
Yeah, time.
You know, those are usually the two biggest
big
things.
Yep.
And those are the things you have all the control over.
Yeah.
You have all the control over it. If you want something, I mean, look at somebody who, you know, not so many people smoke anymore, but if you're a smoker, like you look at people who are on welfare, they will find cigarettes. They will get money for cigarettes no matter what.
Truth.
You know, they will not pay their rent. They will whatever it takes because that is a priority.
Right.
And that's what your success, like what your long-term goal is. That's what your success needs to be like. Like, I'm going to do that no matter what. It just doesn't matter. I'm doing it no matter what.
Well, and this goes back to, actually, this goes back to also, and not particularly, like you earlier had said to, you know, lower your expectations. I don't know that you have to lower them. I think you have to change them. Right. And I think that that's true for even in this, right? Like when you change the expectation, the things you do to meet that expectation will change. You said you don't believe in work-life balance. And I'll challenge that in that I would first ask, well, how are you defining that? And why does it look that way? Because I grew up with a single mom, my dad was in the picture. So my dad, his dating life, his work, my mom's work, you know, all the stuff going on. And then I was an athlete. There's all stuff going on. And so I think my version of work-life balance is a little bit different than maybe right. somebody who grew up, like even my girlfriend, she's married. She has two kids. Our kids are like the same age, 30 days apart. Their ideas of work-life balance may or may not be completely different, right? Because there's always a parental figure, always there to drive them, always there to pick them up, always home to let them in the door. You know what I mean? So it might look. And they're old school. So they, unlike myself, they cook dinner. Although COVID, I learned how to cook. In fact, my daughter the other said, she's like, oh my God, you're actually a really good cook. I was like, thanks to COVID, you know, those like shop at home things, those food prep things.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I have all this time. It was before I added three more companies on. I was like, oh, I have all this time. We're going to order this like home chef thing or whatever the heck I was doing. And I was like, And now some of that like drilled in. Cause the other day I made something, just random faked it. And my daughter's like, this is actually really good. And I'm just like, okay.
I learned something.
A little bit late. You know, you're now a teenager, a little bit late, but better late than never.
Well, the average American gets up in the morning, drives to work. This is before COVID. Right. Gets up in the morning, drives to work, spends about 9 to 10 hours, drives home, and then sits in front of the TV for an average of 5 hours.
No.
Yeah.
Like how? Like a week? You mean like 5 hours a week? No.
A day.
How is that even? How do you work 10 hours and you watch TV 5 hours? Like,
well, you are not in that demographic, but I'm talking about people who go to a job every day.
Like a
9-to-5 job.
That's some shit.
That's what they do. That's what they do. And that's why, you know, all of these streaming services have become so big. How do you think people just binge watch all these things every day? I know families that they get to. Well, I mean, if you're doing that once a week, because that's your downtime and it's a fun thing and you're spending time like with you spend time with your daughter
on purpose,
and this is quality time together. That's fantastic.
This is intentional. It's wonderful.
Intentional thing that you're doing. What people generally in America do is we check out.
Well, you and I had this conversation because not too long ago I needed to, and the only way I could figure out how to check out, because I just didn't want to deal. And I couldn't even figure out, remember, I couldn't even figure out, like, what am I even dealing with? Like, I'm not even dealing with anything. And I was like, oh, call the liquor delivery service. I will drink a bottle of champagne while watching TV with my kid.
Yeah.
Like.
Right. Because you know? It's just a habit.
Yeah.
It's just a habit. Yeah. I know families that every night there's their shows that, you know, they have dinner, and a lot of times dinner's in front of the TV, and then they just watch their shows all night. And if that's the kind of life you want, then that is fantastic.
Right.
But I think probably your listeners are not those people. So
if that's the life you're living and you're complaining about something, you got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
And I don't mean you're wrong. I mean, you have the wrong habits to get to the happy end result.
Absolutely.
Because you can't be watching. Okay. This is actually funny. I had a client who told me about how he had to watch football during football season, right? It's a definite must do. And then he would complain that he didn't have time. So we added up the amount of hours of football watching. And I said, it's funny.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell him exactly what I was doing. I just asked him, you know, I was like, oh, well, you know, how long does the game last? And oh, there's a game every night. And oh, and there's college apparently. And then apparently if you're really into it, you still watch high school kids. I didn't know.
Local high school team. Yeah.
Even if you're, you know, 50 years old. I had no idea, man. I had no idea. So I added all that time, and then I kind of sent it back to him. I was like, well, hey man, if you had like, you know, 6 extra hours a week, what do you think you could do with that? Oh my God, if I had 6 hours, like this would be blowing up. And I'm just like, but you do. It's a choice. And I'm not saying don't take away your mental break for something, but we're in the age of DVR. We were also in a time of COVID. You're not getting on, you know, at 12 noon with your friends to talk about last night's game. Nobody's doing that. You know what I mean? I didn't only say that because I asked them these questions before saying anything, right? Like, what does this look like? How does this run down? Like, what do we do here? What is this? What is your day? Oh, do you talk about it? Like, is there a reason it has to be on time? Like, I literally asked like series of questions to figure this out. And then I was like, well, you're full of shit. You have 6 hours. And that's not including that all that Sunday football that he checks out the entire day. Right. And I'm like, well, why not check out the entire day? Because if you didn't check out mini checkouts all week, you can check out on Sunday. Right. You know what I mean? It was like,
Right. And so for women, it might look like shopping for useless things on Amazon or checking the Pinterest boards or looking at everyone on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or if your business is not around Instagram, you know, what are you doing setting up all those Instagram photos
for? Right. Be strategic.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think if everyone sat down and really charted on a 15-minute basis what they do in a 24-hour time period,
you'd be surprised.
And here's another thing that I found. If my life is running well, like if things are going the way it should be, I don't really need as much sleep. And I naturally wake up a lot earlier.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I feel like that's when you're driven by inspiration versus like when you have that inspired step. Like, and you and I actually, guys, don't forget, this is my coach. So, you know, you and I had talked about that, which brought back the whole chateau thing. I was like, oh. Right. Like
that's your dream.
I'm a third of the way through that. I'm like now looking and qualifying investors. Right. And I have real estate agents in Fortress looking at properties for me. I mean, like, and that happened in what, like a month and a half, something like that. Yeah. I mean, when you take the inspired step, it's a lot different. But the second you kind of, I feel like, and I say this from experience with all of my clients, you know, having worked with over like 1,000 people, is that once that thing clicks, all of a sudden, it's almost like you hit the easy button because the energy changes. But I mean, like your actual physical energy, like you were saying, like all of a sudden you can wake up on time and it doesn't feel like sluggish and early. All of a sudden you can stay up that extra minute and do the thing or it's like all of a sudden, right? And that's when you know you're on point. It's like when you're, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you run every day or you're physically, it's literally like an internal magic button. Like,
it's an internal thing. And many times I'll wake up early. I mean, really early. Like I normally wake up on a normal day. I will wake up by myself between 5 and 5:30 without an alarm. Okay. But if I wake up at 3:30 or I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't mean like get up and go to the bathroom and then go back to bed. I mean like, oh, I'm awake. I never, ever, ever say to myself, oh, it's too early. Now I'm going to be tired all day. Like, why would you say that
to yourself? You just created it.
Why would you put that into your mind? Instead, I'm like, oh, there's something the universe wants to tell me. There's something that if I'm not sleeping, my body doesn't need any more sleep. There's something out there that I could be doing. And I usually will go and I'll get up and I'll go into the living room and I've got like my special little happy spot where I can do my meditation. And that'll be the best meditation of the week.
Yeah.
Because I've listened to that internal clock and I've gone into that space and it's like, oh, okay, well, here's all the other things that I was trying to figure out how to do. Boom, 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 right there. Trusting that that's how it works and that our bodies are set up to work with us. If we're doing that, if you're running on empty and you're tired and exhausted all the time, something's not right.
Yeah. If you're getting some decent sleep, then something's definitely not right.
Right.
But guys, that is all the time we have for this week. We're obviously going to be having Brooke come back again because I love her.
Thank you.
But you know, the one takeaway I want you guys to have for this week is actually do this. Just do this. Just literally dissect what you're doing, not just in a 24-hour period, record what you're actually doing. Yes, it could be a little bit tedious for just the 1 week, right? Just start on Sunday, end on Saturday, see what you actually do with your time. Okay.
Yes.
And then you know, you can be strategic. We can go into that in another episode, Brooke, but I think that's a great takeaway for everybody here is to see what you already do, right? And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kirsten.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you.
You too. Take care.
So that is it for this week. Thank you for joining me. And I hope that you enjoyed today's show.
If so, don't forget to rate it. If you guys have a pressing question, feel free to tweet me at CS Thrive or on Instagram at Thrive Tribe 3.14159. Again, I know that's a weird one. It's just pi. So it's Thrive _ Tribe _ 3.14159. Or of course, you can join me in Facebook at my free group, which is Thrive Tribe Global. If you just search groups and you enter in Thrive Tribe Global, you should see us there and you can join it for free. I answer your questions in there, but if you guys send me a question through there, I will be sure to answer it here on this podcast.
And as always, if you're ever interested in advertising on the show, please contact the Believe Network at Believe, BLEAV, at Believe.com. Thanks so much for joining me.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.